Hello and Happy New Year. This is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated January 8th, 2021. We'll start today's reading on the front page with COVID, local and state. Statewide COVID cases surpass 1 million. Macon County reports 2 deaths, 143 new cases in past 2 days. Springfield. Illinois has reported more than 1 million cases of COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. In a pandemic that has contained far too many tragic milestones, today's marking of 1 million cases of COVID-19 diagnosed in Illinois deserves particular recognition, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a news release. The state reported 8,757 newly confirmed or probable cases of COVID-19 Thursday for a statewide total of just over 1 million cases. An additional 177 deaths were reported for a total of 17,272 since the pandemic began. Hospitalization rates remained nearly identical to previous days, with a slight drop in hospitalizations and ICU patients, and a nearly consistent number of patients on ventilators. As of Wednesday night, 3,921 COVID-19 patients were reported hospitalized, a decrease of 7 from the day prior. There were 783 patients in intensive care unit beds, a decrease from 74 from the day prior, and 450 on ventilators, one less than the day prior. The 7-day rolling average case positivity rate increased slightly to 8.5% Thursday, compared to the prior day report of 8.4%. In Macon County, health officials have reported the death of 2 residents over the past 2 days, a man in his 60s on Wednesday and a man in his 90s on Thursday. To date, the county has reported 163 deaths. During the same 2 days, officials reported 143 new cases, 52 on Wednesday and 91 on Thursday, bringing the total to 8,380. The governor's office also announced a statewide mask mandate has been extended through a subsequent emergency rule that was filed Monday and will be in effect for an additional 150 days. As of Tuesday night, approximately 344,525 total doses of Pfizer, BioNTech and Moderna vaccines have been delivered to Illinois, excluding the city of Chicago. Federal supply issues have resulted in delivery reductions, according to the governor. The state is receiving approximately 120,000 doses per week, 60,000 each of the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. From this lower than expected number of vaccine doses, Pritzker said that the federal government pulls an allotment of doses from each delivery to put towards its long-term care vaccination program. Approximately 114,075 doses are from Illinois' latest allotment outside the city of Chicago and have been set aside for this purpose. The long-term care vaccination program is being facilitated by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in partnership with CVS, Walgreens, and Managed Healthcare Associates, Incorporated, to offer on-site COVID-19 vaccination services for residents of nursing homes and assisted living facilities. About 850,000 residents are eligible for the first phase of vaccinations currently underway, which includes healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents. Illinois, as a whole, has administered approximately 207,106 total vaccine doses to date, including Tuesday's first round of second doses for recipients who received the first dose in mid-December. That number also includes vaccinations through the federal long-term care vaccination program. Pritzker noted the program's partners started vaccinating in Illinois on December 28th, nearly 2 weeks after the state's first delivery of vaccinations. Now the vaccine distribution has begun. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel of this difficult time. Let's do everything we can to ensure all of our neighbors are able to be there as we cross that finish line, healthy as well, Pritzker said. With that goal in mind, I encourage all Illinoisans to choose to receive the protections of the COVID-19 vaccine when it's your turn in line. The next eligible group for vaccinations after the current phase will include non-healthcare frontline essential workers and residents age 65 or older. State looks at legislative security after D.C. rioting. Springfield. Just 2 days after hundreds of rioters broke through the police barricades and vandalized the halls of Congress, Illinois lawmakers will return to the state's seat of government for a lame duck session. The security presence at the Capitol, where the state Senate will convene, and the Bank of Springfield Center, where the House of Representatives will meet, has come under renewed focus. Governor J.B. Pritzker said he asked the Illinois State Police and other law enforcement to redeploy to heighten their presence at government buildings and the Capitol in Springfield amid protests Wednesday. Pritzker's spokesperson did not respond to a question Thursday about whether the governor plans to deploy the Illinois National Guard at the State House or other government offices for the legislative session. The governor's statement came as a much smaller group of demonstrators gathered outside the Illinois Capitol to protest the election certification of President-elect Joe Biden. There were no arrests or incidents reported at the Illinois protest, according to Henry Haupt, a spokesperson for the Illinois Secretary of State, who estimated it was attended by 40 to 50 people. The Secretary of State Capitol Police Force is assigned to 9 buildings comprising the State Capitol Complex. Security at the Bank of Springfield Center falls under the purview of the Illinois State Police, said Haupt. Steve Brown, spokesman for the House Speaker, for House Speaker Michael Madigan, declined to comment on security procedures at the Bank of Springfield or discussion among House leadership for the additional security. I think there is adequate security, and there was in May, as there was in May during the last legislative session. Brown said on Thursday, if you remember, visualizing the scene, security, was pretty comprehensive from what could be seen, and there were additional layers not necessarily visible to the general public. John Patterson, spokesman for the Senate President Don Harmon, said in an email that there are ongoing conversations with the Secretary of State's office to address any questions or concerns and reassure everyone in the building, everyone of the building security, in advance of the Senate session. Haupt said he couldn't comment on staffing levels or security protocols at the Capitol complex, but said the security of State Capitol Police, Capitol Police are working with the Illinois State Police and other law enforcement entities to ensure the complex and surrounding area remains safe. Although the Capitol building is closed due to the pandemic, I think it's important to highlight that the entry points are nonetheless manned by the Capitol Police. He said, every entry point at the Capitol complex is staffed with at least one armed Capitol Police officer, Haupt said. But the point the Capitol Police has made to me numerous times is we're going to be vigilant, even in quiet times, because you can't anticipate something. So you have to be vigilant and on alert, he said. The Secretary of State Capitol Police Force was established by the Illinois General Assembly after a gunman fatally shot State Capitol Security Guard Bill Wozniak in September of 2004. When the shooting took place, the General Assembly was not in session. The Illinois State Police did not respond to requests for comments about ISP security presence at the Bank of Springfield Center by deadline. In more local and state news, on page A3, there's a photo of two snow kittens, or, well, maybe they're squirrels. it's hard to tell, but they're cute. Cheryl Polly's snow squirrels, they're squirrels, she sculpted Wednesday, had googly eyes, colored glasses, scarves, and were holding peanuts. Yes, and the two squirrels, one has a pair of pink glasses and the other has a pair of black glasses, and they're brightly, and a brightly colored scarf on the one, and they both have peanuts in their paws. Family pranks behind Decatur snow squirrels. Playful teasing leads Cheryl Polly to create sculptures for her brother, Decatur. Cheryl Polly, surrounded by near-perfect packing snow, shaped and sculpted what she hoped would catch her brother by surprise. On Wednesday morning, she sneaked over to her older brother Marvin Sauer's house and began assembling snow squirrels across his front yard. Polly thought her plan foolproof, but Sauer, 67, and his wife Mona arrived to their home about an hour later. "I was going to surprise him with it, and they happened to notice and surprised me," Polly said. "I'm almost 65 years old, and I still like playing in the snow." She ended up sculpting 7 snowy squirrel figures decorated with googly eyes and dressed with a pair of colored glasses and a scarf, all formed to look like they were holding a peanut. Polly said creating the animals was a way of to enjoy the beautiful day and take advantage of really good packing snow. But the root reason follows years of playful teasing between the siblings, and the squirrels are symbolizing inside jokes, poking fun at her brother. Marvin once crashed his bike after seeing a white squirrel and getting distracted while riding through Rock Springs Conservation Area, Polly explained. "Googly eyes and sunglasses were another dig at my brother because he always loses his reading glasses," Polly said, "so I wanted him to end up with a lot of glasses." Pranks have been a part of the family for years, introduced by their mother, who could be very smart and yet who could be very silly, and the key culprit of family pranks, especially in her later years, said Sowers, a Decatur resident. The 67-year-old said his sister showed up once in his backyard dressed as a flamingo, explaining that the tropical bird makes Mona uncomfortable. On Easter, he dressed in a white Yeti Easter rabbit costume and hid toilet paper around his sister's backyard for her to find. Polly said she once went to her cousin's place of work and built a snowman on top of her car. "As soon as one joke is done, we start working on the next one," Sowers said. "Now that Mom is gone, Cheryl and I continue to look for the laughter in any situation and to look for ways to surprise each other." The siblings take to Facebook to share their exploits, hoping they bring smiles to the people reading and keeping alive fond memories of the joy their mother left behind. "Since COVID hit, we've done it even more, just trying to bring a little laughter in these tough days," Sowers said. And the picture, shows Cheryl Sowers, 65, and her. It's a line of snow squirrels all lined up along the curved sidewalk leading to the front door of her brother's house. Eastern decries reference to Hitler. Representative Miller comments widely criticized. Charleston. Eastern Illinois University has denounced newly sworn in U.S. Representative Mary Miller's reference to Adolf Hitler in a speech she gave at a rally Wednesday outside the U.S. Capitol. The denunciation was part of a statement signed by Eastern President David Glassman that the university posted Thursday afternoon on its social media accounts, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The statement reads as follows. Yesterday's events in our nation's capital were deplorable and inexcusable. Our ability as Americans to achieve a brighter future together demands we respect our democracy and the democratic traditions and ideals of our nation. Those are the values on which Eastern Illinois University stands and which will continue to guide our mission. Further, and in clear support of those values, EIU denounces the words of recently elected regional representative Mary Miller and further condemns any reference to Hitler or his methodologies as a paradigm for American progress. That's end of the quote. Miller's comments, made during an event by conservative group Moms for America, were captured on video and, once posted on social media, prompted a vast negative response. In the video, Miller, reading from a prepared statement, said, "If we win a few elections, we're still going to be losing unless we win the hearts and minds of our children. This is the battle. Hitler was right on one thing. He said, whoever has the youth has the future." Miller can be heard saying in a clip, that was a quote, that's her quote. Miller can be saying this in a clip that was circulated on Twitter. Miller is a Republican from Oakland in Coles County, which is also the home of to Eastern, who represents the 15th Congressional District. She replaced John Shimkus, a Republican from Collinsville, who chose to not to seek re-election. Miller, the wife of Republican State Representative Chris Miller, was among the 121 GOP House members and six senators who voted against upholding Electoral College votes in a joint session late Wednesday. Miller, an ardent Trump supporter, previously promised to vote against certifying results. Miller has called the elections tainted and said she was joining patriotic leaders across the nation in objecting to the Electoral College results of certain states that did not uphold the Constitution. The Congresswoman could not be reached for comment on Wednesday or Thursday, despite the Journal-Gazette and Times Courier repeatedly contacting various numbers of her staff. Michael Jones, managing director of Campaigns for Change organization, reported Thursday afternoon that the Illinois Legislative Jewish Caucus has started a change.org petition demanding that Miller resign over her reference to Hitler. He said, "This online petition has picked up nearly 2,000 signatures in just a few hours." The head of the World Jewish Congress, an international organization, blasted Miller's comment as simply outrageous. One might expect this from white supremacists or neo-Nazis, but hearing the words "Hitler was right" from the mouth of a member of the United States Congress is beyond acceptable behavior by any standards, Ronald Lauder, the group's president, said in a statement. Police: man accused of battering female friend. Decatur. Police say a Decatur man is accused of battering his former roommate. Court documents say the 40-year-old suspect and the female friend met Tuesday at a hotel for his birthday, and in the middle of talking and fooling around, she wanted to leave. While she stood packing up her items, the 40-year-old walked up to her and began punching her on the face with a closed fist, knocking the woman to the ground after about three strikes, documents say. A sworn affidavit said the man made several attempts to bar the woman from leaving the hotel room, but he let her through the door when she started screaming. The 40-year-old was later found at the woman's residence, where police found a baggie containing 0.8 grams of cocaine in his pants pocket. Police reported minor injuries of bruising and a red mark on the victim's face, as well as a laceration to her upper lip. The man was arrested and booked into Macon County Jail on Wednesday morning on preliminary charges of domestic battery, unlawful restraint, and possession of a controlled substance. A check of jail records Wednesday to be released. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Crime of the week. Police seek assistance with robbery investigation. Police are seeking public assistance in solving this week's crime of the week, an aggravated robbery that occurred on December 29th. Police say a suspect entered the Little Caesars at 1925 North Water Street around 7:30 p.m. and showed a handwritten note stating, quote, "empty the register," end quote, while keeping one hand in his hooded sweatshirt to imply he had a handgun. The suspect left the restaurant and fled southwest on foot. According to a news release, employees described the suspect as a black male with an average build, standing approximately 5'10" and to 6 foot tall, with a deep voice and wearing a blue hooded sweatshirt, blue face mask, and gray pants. The suspect was observed to have a tattoo on the top of his left hand between his thumb and index finger. Anyone with information can call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Again, that's 423-8477, and may remain anonymous. Crime Stoppers will pay $500 for information that leads to an arrest. Decatur restaurant offering free meals to 300. The new year should be celebrated with a good meal. That's why Daryl Holloway, the owner of Debo's Chicken and Waffles, will be giving away free meals beginning at noon on Sunday, January 10th at the restaurant at 3777 North Woodford Street. Suite A, Decatur. "We've all been through hard times this last year," Holloway said. "A lot of people can't afford to go out to eat or do extra things. Money is so tight now." Holloway said he was fortunate and received blessings this year, "so I want to bless the community," he said. The menu will consist of Holloway's famous chicken and waffles. "I want to get a lot of people used to eating the concept, he said. "A lot of people haven't had it." Customers should remain in their cars while the dinners are delivered. The food will be distributed until it is gone. Only those present will be served. Mike said he hopes to feed about 300 people. Although the meal is free, donations will be accepted. Cash App can be utilized. And if you go, it's Debo's 2021 Community Luncheon. When is beginning at noon, Sunday, January 10th. Where is it? Debo's Chicken and Waffles, 3777 North Woodford Street, Suite A. The cost is donations accepted. And you can check on the web at www.facebook.com/, and this is all one word, small letters, Debo's Chicken and Waffle. And the picture accompanying this shows the front entrance to Debo's Chicken and Waffles at 3777 North Woodford Street in Decatur. 1300 block of East Moore in Decatur is closed for repairs. The 1300 block of East Moore Street is closed until further notice due to street repairs. City crews began repair work on Wednesday, and it is estimated to continue until Tuesday, January 12th. Motorists driving in the area are asked to slow down, use extreme caution, and are encouraged to find an alternate route around the work. In local and state news on page A5, Milliken president, "time for us to reflect." Reynolds denounces Wednesday's violence on Capitol Hill. Milliken University president Jim Reynolds released a statement on Thursday denouncing Wednesday's events in Washington, D.C. I never expected that our nation's capital would be overrun by women and men who had such malice that they were willing to commit acts of sedition and treason in order to convince the American people that the lies about the, quote, rigging of the election this year were true. Reynolds said in his statement, I never expected that elected representatives who swear an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic, would be the initiators and supporters of conspiracy theories designed to attack the very linchpin of our representative democracy, free and fair elections. I just never expected that during the worst public health crisis in the history of our country, members of Congress would spend even a moment of their legislative time listening to fantastical arguments about a, quote, deep state stealing the election, end quote, or supporting the fantasy that 81 million people who voted for the president-elect and vice president-elect somehow did so in an invalid or corrupt way. Reynolds said he thought he had already seen the worst of humanity with the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the mean-spiritedness of the general election in November. At each of those events, I thought we had come to a tipping point where individuals with decency and a reverence for the more perfect union described in the preamble of the Constitution would step forward into the breach and help us find our way as a nation again, Reynolds said. His request of the Millikan campus community, he said, is that the members of that community reflect on the ways they can live their values. We have differences, to be sure, but none of our differences should ever cause us to not strive for a decent and civil way to express our concerns or keep us from developing a strong sense of community, Reynolds said. Since he accepted the offer to become Millikan's president, he said he has learned what a special place Millikan is. Each of you has made a positive difference in the lives of others through your commitment to providing the very best of what you have to offer to our campus, Reynolds said. Today is a time for us to reflect on how we can better model the behavior that provides safe harbor for a diversity of ideas within a caring community. And the photo that accompanies this is, in this file photo, James Reynolds poses with the bronze man on the campus of Millikan University. Reynolds began work as the new president of the university on July 1st and is a Decatur native. And a History Corner, a look back, is from the photos from 1978, and it's showing more than 5,000 people, many from Decatur, attending the showing of Power Parade 78. The hour-long Power Parade is designed to demonstrate the effectiveness of Caterpillar's earth-moving equipment, and it shows a track, a stadium, the backs, heads of many people, obviously in the summer, and it's showing all the different Caterpillar earth-moving machines going around the track. It's a parade of their power parade of their equipment. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated January 8th, Friday, January 8th, 2021. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.